It's Friday, January 25th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone got a great show for you. Thank goodness it's Friday. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. How's everybody? How you doing? Welcome to the show. Got a great show lined up for you tonight for all of you that are long-term subscribers. Hey, thanks for being part of the Ohana here and being part of the outreached family that extends over many, many countries and across the beautiful United States as well. So how are y'all doing? Well, it's very sunny and beautiful here in Hawaii. I had to say that because I know some of you are still dealing with cold, but I'm going to get mine here soon because this coming Sunday I get on an airplane and I head out to the Lone Star State. I head out to Texas for about a week, I guess, four or five days. Then I get on an airplane and go over to Indianapolis. And kind of what my plan is I'm going to fly in Friday afternoon to Indy. Then I'm going to pick up my rental car and drive up to Michigan and spend the weekend with my mom. I'm actually going to have dinner with Annie McCaskey of Slashdot Review on Saturday evening. So I know several of you had asked if there was going to be a Michigan meetup, and no, there will not be one this trip, but don't worry, we'll have a chance to do this again. But those of you that are down in the Indianapolis area, and I have gotten one email already from a listener, if there's anybody else, be more than happy to kind of hook up. I'm actually going to be staying south of Indy. I'm going to be down in Bloomington, and I will be available if I need to, you know, to blast up to Indy. I know some of you are living south of Indy that had actually, or the one person had lived, that sent me an email was living south of Indianapolis. So that actually might work up. We could hook up and have dinner some evening. And then I'll be there for, I'll be in Indy, I guess, for 7, 9, 11 days total. And we're actually going to have our team is going to be meeting up the following weekend. We're going to be staying downtown and having basically our locked in a suite at the Hilton downtown. So if there's anybody in Indianapolis, really, I'll take this up with the crew, but if anybody wants to come out and meet the Raw Voice team, we might be able to do, it would have to be a short dinner. I don't even know. I should ask the guys for permission first because we're supposed to be locked up. But if anybody wants to, you know, to meet up, they probably can, but can't promise a lot of time, really can't. But hey, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, yeah, this show's getting ready to go on the road for nearly 25 days. I'm going to be crisscrossing across the United States doing a number of things and be looking to hook up with people. More details as the trip progresses. But if you are new to the show, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. You get subscribed to the podcast via either the iTunes or Zune or even standard RSS feed. Get signed up for our newsletter as well so you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. I know some of you got two emails again, and I'm pretty frustrated with my newsletter system at this point. And I've actually, I'm working out, some issues where I'm going to have someone taking care of the server on a full-time basis. So they're going to take care of that when I get them started. But what else have I got going on here? Hey, got an email from Mike, he's, saying he's not able to watch some of the latest videos on his iPod. And I wonder, I increased the actual frame rate on several of these. So some of you that may not be able to see the videos, I'm going to essentially crank the video frame rate back and re-upload the two or three videos that are up that are causing some, at least him some trouble, and see if that fixes. If any of you are having problems with videos on your iPod, please let me know and see what I can do about getting that fixed. Also, one listener that had a Zune player says he was having a hard time getting my podcast via the Zune player. So is there anyone else out there having that issue? If you are, please, please drop me a line and I'll see, check with my folks over at Microsoft, see what's going on, actually at the Zune team, and see what's going on there. But boy, y'all reacted to my last show. We have some voicemails and definitely some emails tonight. So I got a lot of stuff to cover. Not a lot to catch you up on, except that traffic here in Honolulu, if you're feeling sorry for me because it's 80 degrees and I'm doing the show in a shorts and t-shirt and essentially no shoes, I am spending a lot of time in traffic. It's just been horrible. I mean, I can't even, I'm really trying to figure out now how to be more productive in my car without getting in a wreck. Really, I am. I am starting to look at that. I'm fighting the Honolulu traffic. I'm thinking I'm wasting a couple hours a day in traffic. And really, it is. It's a waste. You know, normally what would be a 20, 22, 23-minute trip is taking me an hour, hour 15. And then later on in the evening, it's taking me another 45, 50 minutes. So it's not good at all. And my my tolerance level for traffic is about the size of a gnat. I don't do well. I don't do well with traffic. I have to relate a little story to you. I was talking about doing my taxes, and I've been working on statistics for podcaster payments and a number of things. But last night, now if anyone's ever had this issue, please tell me, because tell me what I did wrong. Because this morning at about 8 a.m., if you were anywhere within a 20-mile radius of my house, you heard me scream because, and I'm still suffering from the effects of this. I was working on a spreadsheet last night all the way up until about 1 in the morning, and I was done. I mean, well, I had about another hour's worth of work left, and I had 20 tabs. You know how on a spreadsheet when you have 20 tabs opened up, and I had everything beautiful. Oh, it was perfect. All the formulas, everything was done. And I was very, very proud of myself. And I had been saving all along. And so I saved the file and I went to closed it and left the computer on the kitchen table with all the paperwork spread everywhere. Went to bed, got up this morning, took the kids to school. Got to the point where I was going to open this file up again, and I opened it, and there was only one tab. I have no idea what happened, how it happened, and I was in a panic for about 5 minutes. I was trying to figure out, what did you do wrong? Where's the file? Did I rename it? I was searching the hard drive, scratching my head, but the one tab had all of the latest figures that were pulled over from other sheets. 12 hours of work flushed. I have never in my life lost that amount of work. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't. And my wife, I could have sobbed. I really could. My wife came out. She goes, "What's the matter? What's the matter?" And I'm like, "Look, look." And she's looking at the spreadsheet. "What's the matter?" And she didn't understand what had been done. So, well, I'm organized. So I figure because I'm organized now, I probably spent 4 or 5 hours getting organized. I'll probably be able to repeat this work in about 6 hours. So tomorrow, I will be redoing the work. And it would not have been a child safe here for a little while this afternoon or this morning because, have you ever had that happen? Someone that is an Excel spreadsheet expert, please tell me. Now, I had been taking some other spreadsheets and bringing them in. So cut and pasting from other sources and bringing it in. And it's the only thing I can think of. There was something not compatible. I don't know. But it was ugly. It really, really was. So meanwhile, I was fully planning on putting up videos today. I had all kinds of great things scheduled, and it just sucked the life right out of me. It really, really did. But lots of videos to go up. We're actually sending emails out to vendors tomorrow, letting them know what's going on. And so I'll be pushing some stuff. Again, I get on an airplane Sunday afternoon, actually, and fly out of here. And I'll be down in Waco, Texas. You've heard me talk about Waco before. So I'll be doing a show, probably two shows in Waco, from the original location where this show started in October of 2004. So that should be kind of fun. It really, really should. But, you know, we've come a long way. You know, we're going on 4 years now, and it's pretty exciting. It really is. But this show definitely would not be possible in the form that it is without our sponsors. So these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometime just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business, associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. And for all of you that went and got a free trial, I say thank you very much. If you haven't got a free trial and seen the power of this application, please get over to GoToMeeting and download the application and give it a free 30-day trial to see how it works out. Of course, if you're looking for domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated hosts, shared hosting accounts, secure socket certificates, you name it, GoDaddy.com has what you need. And actually, I saw a email come in from GoDaddy today talking about their Super Bowl ad. And what has happened is the Super Bowl ad that they wanted to show has not gotten approved. So what they've done is they've made an advertisement to advertise the online video. So very unique advertising scheme here. And Bob Parsons is rolling the dice on this one. So we'll see what happens during the Super Bowl. I hope you all give me some feedback, positive and negative, on the actual GoDaddy ad that is on the Super Bowl and the actual one that's online. We'll see if their sites go down from millions of viewers trying to go over and see what the secret really is. And I was told I was going to be given a look at that video, but I have not got access to it yet, so I can't give you any hints, but it's supposed to be pretty good. So if you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Enter the code Todd when you check out, save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. Todd20 will save you a lot of money on shared hosting accounts that you get for a year. That'll get you 20% off on 1 year shared hosting accounts. So keep those promo codes in mind. Share them with your friends. Tell everybody you know. Blog them. Post them everywhere. And help support the sponsor here at Geek News Central. Okay. Wow. What have I got here for you tonight? I have got a stack of stuff. And no, we're not going to be talking about Time Warner. We've had enough to talk about them. But, okay, where are we at here? Let me load the browser up. A little news on Firefox. Ace Adulter's reporting that Ziti Monitor's latest survey results points to December strong growth across the globe for Firefox. It says the Firefox growth was at 28% for Australia and New Zealand, where the big Firefox winners were in winners in December were gaining 1.4 percentage points and becoming the first region to break that 30% mark with a Firefox market of 31.1. Well, I tell you, those of you that come to the Geek News Central website at geeknewscentral.com, you outpace Internet Explorer users by 2-1 easily. And you're almost to the point where the Safari and Apple Safari and Apple Firefox users are almost equal to the Internet Explorer users. So That's pretty interesting to see that most of the tech crew has moved to Firefox. Now, we did see, and actually not going to cover this in the show tonight, but I wanted to mention that looks like Microsoft is trying, and we'll have to see if they can get it done, but a new version of Windows is coming. They're saying possibly next year. So maybe they have learned from their mistakes in the past, and they're going to, you know, get on a faster update schedule. I don't know hopefully they're removing some of the bloat of Vista, but I'm going to get my first taste of Vista here in a few weeks when a new laptop arrives. Still waiting for that to come in. I'm hoping it comes in shortly, but probably won't get it until I get back from my trip. So I don't want to have a, you know, carry a third laptop, but I'll be carrying two on this trip with me. Yeah, that's a question I'm going to ask all of you. How are you guys dealing with that? I know many were saying, Todd, you carry two laptops. Well, when I was out at CES, I was asking all the bag vendors, when are you going to come out with a bag that specifically supports two oversized, in other words, two 17-inch laptops? Oh, we can support two 17-inches. And they would show me a bag, and I'd look in it. And I'm like, no, you can support one, and then the other one's really not protected. It's kind of in there. Now, because the Mac is a little more streamlined, it actually travels pretty good for a big laptop, but I really need a bag that will protect two laptops, and on top of all the other gear I carry, it would be real nice to be able to do that. But we'll see if they ever get to that point where we can can carry, those of us who are super geeks out there can buy bags specifically for two laptops. All right, this next news information, here's some advice. If you're ever reading the newspaper or online and you see a help wanted ad and it looks like your boss is advertising your position, don't do anything drastic, because a gal in, where was she at? On Jacksonville, Florida, was reading the help wanted section. I don't know why she's reading help wanted if she's working, but anyway, maybe she was looking for a new job. And she saw a job listing with her boss's number that appeared to be a job for her, a replacement for her. So she got all upset. She got in her car. She drove her to the office she was working at. And she got in the office, fired up all the machines, and she deleted every last file off their network. The owner says it's 4 years worth of work, $2.5 million in architectural drawings. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. Oh, it was actually 7 years worth of drawings and blueprints. So she's deleted all this. Now, the question I have, if you are an architect and you have all of your data accessible by a single employee, you're stupid. I'm sorry. I can't call it any easier than that, because it doesn't appear that this guy had backups. So she's been arrested, and it's a felony. She's been arrested on a felony charge of causing greater than $1,000 worth of damage to a computer file. She's been bailed out, but she has been terminated. And it appears she really wasn't in danger of losing her job. It was a advertisement for his wife's company. So, gosh, that goes into Ripley, believe it or not. But can you believe that? Just amazing. So, you know, keep calm, work on your resume. Wow, simply amazing. Okay, iPhone 1.1.3 jailbreak is out. So if you have if you're a Mac user and you want to jailbreak your phone from any of the versions, you can do that. I have a question. I'm still running 1.1.1 with my jailbroke and unlocked phone running T-Mobile. And I haven't been following this real close, but can I go to 1.3? Is it possible for me to do that? Does anybody have instructions and have a link to a file that actually, or to a site that actually will allow me to upgrade to the current version and not have a brick? And I heard, though, that the 1.1.3 version actually, for some people, have unbricked their phones. So that's pretty curious in itself. So if you know of any good links that's got step-by-step stuff, definitely drop me a line. It's maybe something I'll do when I'm on the road. Of course, I'll have an extra phone with me just in case I do brick my phone. But so far, I've stayed at 1.1.1. All right, CNET has an article, Why the MPAA and RIAA Can't Stand College Students. And I find the details of this article totally appalling. Now, what it appears that they have done is that they have grossly overstated, in other words, the MPAA has grossly overstated the impact college students have had on the movie industry's losses. Reading from the website, it says the MPAA claims its original figure citing a 44% loss due to college privacy was inflated by a whopping 29%. In fact, the MPAA admitted that the actual impact college students have on the industry revenue loss is just 15%. Isn't there some law about, like, lying? Can a company distort facts so bad that they would add 29% loss onto the actual number of, you know, the actual revenue number? Something is wrong here. They're saying in this article that the reason the MPAA is because they're easy targets. And they're thinking that, you know, by targeting them, they're going to maybe impact what the 18 to 25 crowd is doing. I don't think they're going to be able to. I think that, you know, like this CNET article says, the 18 to 25 crowd represents change and innovation. So we will see what happens here, but I don't think it's cool that these organizations are misstating facts, you know, quite publicly, and then later come back, oh yeah, it was we were fudging the numbers. You know, if I fudge the numbers with my vendors, with the people we work for, I would have no sponsors. You know, that is a, you know, that is a level of trust that I have to maintain that is cannot be broached. You know, oh yeah, you know, it was you know, that's just like me saying to the vendor, oh yeah, it was 5 million downloads, and then coming back later and saying, oh, it was 1.2. You know, that's how gross this misstatement was by the MPAA. So it doesn't work in my world. Why should it work for them? But I guess they, you know, they think they're above the law. They can do whatever they want and completely badger people. And it's what's been going on for a while now. So I guess it's not surprising. All right, over on psychorg.com, it's actually psyorg, maybe physorg, I don't know, physorg.com. There's a report of a doctor's reporting transplant breakthrough. And essentially, you know, anyone that has a organ transplant, usually, probably 99% of the cases, have to take anti-rejection medication for the rest of their life. And that anti-rejection medication really can have negative consequences. I have had several family members that have had organ transplants and friends. And some of them, you know, end up with later on having kidney stones and, you know, overweight issues and just from this medicine. But it appears that they're coming up with a new cocktail. Essentially, it is a young gentleman who's aged 20. How old is he? He's 21, 22, 23. He's young, got a kidney from his mom, along with a bone marrow transplant 3 years ago. Now, when they gave him the bone marrow transport, it was done at a time when they had suppressed his immune system. So they purposely suppressed the immune system. They gave him the bone marrow transplant and then also did the kidney transplant. Now, I don't know if this happened all at the same time, but what has happened is the bone marrow, you know, you guys understand what happens with a bone marrow transplant, right? When they suppress people's immunities, and it's, you know, you normally use for people that have leukemia. It's, you know, there's a variety of things that bone marrow transplants can be used for. But basically, they reprogrammed this guy's immune system. Very, very cool. This is innovative. It's having good success. And I think what we're going to see here is they're trying to get the balance right to figure out exactly what works the best. And they're going to have a method where they can get everyone treated with the same consistent outcome. And this is just amazing news for those that are awaiting transplants. Now, if you have a family member that's on the list, really, please, please, please share this with them. because, you know, getting the kidney or whatever the organ may be is only half the battle. The other half is not having the organ being rejected. So definitely let them know about this. I'll have the link up in the show notes, and get your family member connected with this team, and hopefully this will be adopted very, very quickly, so that the doctor maybe that they're being seen by can use this treatment on them. But this is good news. It really, really is. All right, over on Torrent Freak, there's a argument going on about, actually some discussion going on about Comcast BitTorrent throttling. And this is in lieu of an article that was written over on the Register, in which a gentleman argued that the Comcast BitTorrent interference was reasonable. Now, we're starting to see a more increased step up of the RIAA, MPAA, the EFPI, I believe, in the UK, are all starting to really go after the ISPs. And so what this guy on the Register basically said is it was within their right to protect their network. And he goes into, there's this counter argument on why what Comcast did was good. And I'm thinking to myself, what if I'm using BitTorrent for legitimate reasons and I'm a Comcast customer and they're dropping my packets? I would just be furious. Now, granted, we know that there's a lot of peer-to-peer activity going on and many people are moving stuff that they shouldn't be. But still, I think that the rationale that what Comcast is doing is reasonable is still is not one that I would agree with. And I think as well that we're going to start to see, probably ISPs be strong-armed in to start policing policing the traffic that's going through their network, which includes your traffic, and it's, some of the same things that AT&T is starting to do. All right, big news out of the stock market with, all this interest rate drop and the markets in flux. I know many of you probably have 401ks that are probably getting a beating this week, but Apple plunges most in 5 years as a forecast system disappoints those on Wall Street. So they lost how much of the percent? 11% of their stock. Boy, I would have just about loved to have been on Apple short a couple of days ago, because it could have turned into a very nice payday. But I think I saw on, one of the, that guy that mashes buttons and stuff on TV. I think he was saying that if you own Apple stock right now, definitely hold, but he's not recommending a buy at this point. And they're worried about iPod and Apple iPhone sales and so forth. There's a good article to follow that up with, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, over on Ars Technica, talking about the total number of phones being sold. And even though the take-up has been huge, there is, again, some concern, and the traction is not as large as it thought it would be, especially overseas. I think what it boils down to is that I'm starting to see phones, a lot of cool phones that have as cool of features as the iPhone does, only with a smaller screen. I think the sooner the Nokias of the world and the Motorolas step up to the plate and bring devices to the market that will compete with the iPhone in its, in its screen size. That's why I like this phone so much. I can get on a Safari and I can surf, and it's big, and I can read it, and I think that that is a big factor for me. I don't care about the rest of the stuff. I really don't. I use Safari the most. I use SMS, and that's about it. I don't use any of the other features that are on there. Of course, I have some music loaded on it, but not too much. All right, it appears the hackers are really going after the Church of Scientology, and of course, they haven't been without controversy at all, and being very jokingly here. And I don't want to say too much about this group because they like to come after people legally. But the hackers are essentially doing a denial of service attack on their series of websites. They're actually faxing black sheets of paper to their company's fax machines. And it made a Yahoo video of the day on Wednesday, the message that was released by the group that's doing this denial of service attack. So while on one side there's probably people that are cheering this action, there's others on the other side that are thinking, if they can do this to them, they could do it to anybody. So we'll have to watch and see how this you know, where this falls out. But I think what we're going to start to see is more awareness that there's a lot of computers out there that are breached, that are being used to perform these denial of service attacks. Those of you that are Linux fans, you're definitely going to want to read this article. Would you imagine going into a Best Buy or a big box and talking to a salesman there that was, you know, supposedly a computer expert and didn't really know anything about Linux and was actually contesting whether or not some of the things Linux are doing were legal? I'll have the link up in the show notes. It's a very comical read, but it's also very eye-opening. And I think Linux is probably having some of the same issues that podcasting does. It's a education thing. And there's, you know, a lot of people that are just simply don't understand Linux. And there's a lot of people out there that simply don't understand podcasting. So I think those of us that are advocates of whichever operating system that we believe in, that we want to run, I think we need to do more to demo what currently is going on the Linux operating system. You know, I work within the command line, but I'm hearing now there's lots of cool stuff going on in the GUI as well. So, you know, start, you know, if those of you that are Linux fans out there, when you find a good video demo of some of the operating systems and some of the stuff that's going on, definitely send me a link to that, and I'll cover that on Geek News Central. I'll put the video link up in the blog so that those of you that are, you know, kind of in the dark and still on Linux and scared of it can see some of the cool things that they're doing in the space and how it's grown into a very, well, it's always been a mature operating system. You know, it still runs the majority of servers on the internet, and it's starting to, I think, starting to have a bigger impact in home computing. But this guy's blog article is a great one to read for everyone. Well, we missed the bullet here. It appears that asteroid 2007 TU-24 is not going to smack Earth. It's going to be it's going to be pretty close though. The TU-24 will be the closest currently known approach by a potentially hazardous asteroid of its size until 2027. Now let me read here. It says that the object is between 150 and 600 meters in diameter. That's pretty big, folks. And it's going to be, it will reach an approximate apparent magnitude of 10.3 on January 29th and 30th before quickly becoming fainter. They're saying that those of you that are astronomy buffs are going to be able to see this with a, what size, 3-inch? Were they saying 3-inch telescope? So keep your eyes peeled on this. I'll have the link up in the show notes. I'm sure many of you are already aware of that. But, we miss getting smacked. And, you know, that's really a good thing, right? Okay, next up, I know many of you are a big Microsoft fans. And, you know, I know some of you are not. But Microsoft had a good quarter. Microsoft pulled in $16.37 billion in revenue and $6.48 billion in operating income, which translated to a 30% or an 87% growth in each area. So it looks like Vista's selling pretty good. And so they made pretty good money in the quarter, and they're pretty happy with their results. Those of you that have been thinking about buying a MacBook Air may want to reconsider, and I just messed myself up here. I don't know how come that does that sometimes. But anyway, Engadget is reporting that the MacBook Air is clocking in much, much lower than any of the other MacBooks out there. It give an example, the 1.6 gigahertz Core 2 Duo Air had a thread test of 148.81, a MacBook Pro at 2.16 had 185, a MacBook Pro 2.2 had a 219, the MacBook had a 186, and an iMac had a 208. So most definitely, the Air is highly underperformed any of the other. It's essentially the weak kid on the block when it comes to Mac machines. So just be aware of this. Look at these benchmarks, and I think you'll get a good idea that this thing is very underpowered, and I think, personally, I think very overpriced. It may look cool, but I got better places to spend my money. But not only is it overpriced, if you have a EVDO card, a USB 3G modem won't fit into the MacBook Air. It's a great picture here. A picture is worth a thousand words. They open the little dock, try to stick the 3G modem in. Nope, won't do it. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to get a little USB extension cable to get online with where Wi-Fi isn't available. So it's just going to be another cable you're going to have to carry if you buy this machine. So, you know, why didn't they just, I'm sure it was like, well, it's just not going to work. But they should have provided a cable. A short jumper cable. If Mac would have been smart, they would have. Because, you know, it's hard to find small jumper cables. It really is. You can get, you know, 6-inch, 12-inch. But who wants to carry, you know, we're already carrying enough cables as it is. This next one will make some of you happy. Since late 2007, the folks at Netflix have been trying to bring Mac video streaming to the Mac line of products. And they've been having some issues, of course, and it all revolves around digital rights management. As you all know, Apple doesn't license their DRM products, so they've had to look for a different solution. And what they found is that Microsoft Silverlight video technology appears to be the most promising solution, which will support cross-platform PC and Mac, and also be DRM encoded. So Silverlight is available in beta for Mac for Microsoft. So it looks like that Netflix is going to be able to bring video to the Mac folks, and that's good news. It really is. It's just too bad Apple couldn't have helped facilitate that a little bit, but that's the way the ball bounces. You know, we talked about Voodoo a little bit, and I've been using a Voodoo box here at the house, courtesy of a Hawaiian Telecom. They're the ones that provided it for me. And I'm actually getting ready to write another article about Voodoo. I really like this box, I really do. But what's even going to be even better is Voodoo has dropped price to fend off the resurgent of Apple TV. So Voodoo is knocking 25% off the price of its video on demand box, effective immediately. The Voodoo box is now $295, and I think this is good because I thought the box was a little bit overpriced anyway. Down from its original $399 asking price. Those of you that may have purchased one of these on my advice on this show here over the last 30 days, you can get a $100 movie credit by calling the company's customer service line at 888-554-VOODOO. And if you talk to them, tell them Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi. So you can check Voodoo out at voodoo.com. Okay, this next article I think is going to surprise all of you. And when I say it, many of you aren't going to believe it, but Microsoft Vista has had fewer flaws than other operating systems in the first year of its release. This is amazing. Vista has logged fewer vulnerabilities than Red Hat, Ubuntu, Apple Mac OS X did in their first year. So Microsoft, you know, even though they took a long time to get Vista out, they definitely had the security going on because they've had fewer issues than other operating systems had in their first year. So good news. That's good for Microsoft and definitely a positive thing for them. Or over on TechCrunch, Michael Arrington has, actually Mark Henderson, a contributing editor at TechCrunch, has had a private interview with one of the creators, the CTO of Hulu. And of course, Hulu is the major network's where they're going to be putting all their videos and stuff. This is a pretty interesting article, so I'm just going to link this up in the show notes so let you guys read the actual article itself. And lots of revelations here on where they came from and how long it took them to get there and building the Hulu site out. Those of you that are big Dig fans, Dig has a new algorithm for getting stuff to the front page, and you know there's already some outcry by some of the Dig fanboys because they're seeing some articles make the front page with as few as 100 digs. And what's interesting here is what Kevin Rose says is that it's about diversity of digs. So those dig groups, in other words, if people are working together to get articles to front page, they're not going to be as effective now with this new algorithm. I think that's good because just like any article, just like any podcast, you know, the diversity of people that listen to it are going to be great. So those that are digging it should be great. It shouldn't be the same little core group of people. And I think it's a good thing that they've done to change that. Also, I think we talked about this on a prior show, but it looks like Google is going to be launching a site called Google Health. There's actually a splash page that the folks over at blogscoped.com found. So we'll keep an eye out for that. That'll probably be a pretty good resource. All right, the folks over at Spaceship One, they're Scaled Composites. That's the folks that are sponsored by Virgin CEO, and I guess he's probably a multi-billionaire. They have rolled out the new design for Spaceship Two. They're calling it SS2, and it's carrier aircraft called White Knight 2, WK2. I saw a video of this online. Beautiful. I'll hand it to these guys. They are building some pretty stuff. Now, whether or not it's going to be functional, we'll see. But with the type of money they got behind them, I can't imagine it not being successful. All right. Got a couple of cool articles I'll have in kind of the bottom of the show notes tonight. Some stuff that I have found. And a good article for those of you that have kids that are hanging out in MySpace doing crazy things, maybe even college students. There's a good article over on the BBC about social sites proving hard to leave behind. It talks about the dilemma of one senior, in other words, a university senior who is trying to bail on MySpace and have his profile deleted, and how it took an actual article on BBC to get it removed. So be full aware that once it's out there, it's hard to remove. And anyway, we cover this topic from time to time. And most of you parents know, and those of you that are probably on MySpace understand, you put it on there, it's there for life. It really, really is. Lots of complaints about the one laptop per child laptop deliveries. And I have to admit, I'm a little bit frustrated myself for a simple fact. I've been doing, I found out today they've got a telephone number you can actually call. And this is the first I've heard about this. I've had a hard time finding the actual link to the telephone number, but tomorrow I'm going to call them. But I had sent a follow-up email saying, hey, where are we at on this claim on these two laptops that got stolen? And I got an email back, your three laptops that you had are going to be shipped real soon. I'm like, okay, knuckleheads. You replied, and I made it really clear. I have bought five laptops. Two were stolen. Three have not been delivered. Here is the FedEx number. Here is my order number. Here's the claim number with FedEx. Where are we at with these? Are you replacing them, giving my money back? What are you doing? And they are terribly slow. Average turnaround time on emails, 5 days. And then they get an email back that basically said, your order's going to be shipped soon. Okay, yeah, that's the other order, you knuckleheads. So most people that are having trouble are the ones that ordered through PayPal. That was me. Lots of issues ordering through PayPal. So now that I've got a telephone number to call them, I'm going to call them tomorrow. But PC World is no holds barred, came off the top rope on them. Everyone's trying to be patient, with them. But if this had been a regular company with a regular standard type laptop, wouldn't be good. I keep getting notices that they're going to be shipped soon. And still haven't got a tracking number on the other three. Probably about the time I leave is about the time they're going to show up. And that's going to blow. It really is, because I'm going to have to tell my wife, okay, we're going to give them away, and I'm going to have to rely on her to get them shipped out. But I'd like to at least look at one of them before they go out. Microsoft has updated Vista Service Pack 1 test build. So those of you that are running Vista Service Pack 1, get the update out there. It's an update to. Looks like they're getting real close here. All right, are you a charter customer? Are you one of the charter customers that had their email deleted? I would love, really love to hear from you. Charter deleted 14,000 active email accounts. Can you imagine? Can you imagine waking up and your email account is gone? Now, they have realized they have really messed up big time. So they have automatically applied a $50 credit on the next bill. Let's see here. What did that cost Charter? Let me go and do a little calculator here. And I should know this right off the top of my head. This is pretty easy math. It cost them $700,000 for a little bit of a little bug in their software product. So people in Missouri, all over the place, have lost their email accounts because of Charter stupidity. So if you have had a problem and you lost your email account, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And just recently, I've been getting, I don't know why, and I don't mind, really, I've gotten a couple of calls on my cell phone, and people go, oh, I was trying to call the voicemail hotline, and I'm like, you got my cell. So I guess people are mistakenly thinking the number on the website is my voicemail line. I don't mind if you call my cell. I really don't. I'd be happy to talk to you. But I have turned a couple of people around and pointed them at the actual number. So, but if you ever want to call me and just chat, you can do that as well. Prefer you do that in the evening, my time. I really would. But anyway, that is it on regular content tonight. But I do have, and I got through this stuff pretty quick. I was worried about it. I do have a number of voicemails here. I'm getting some voicemails. I'm getting 2 and 3 voicemails from the same person between shows. Please, 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 please limit your, I love to hear from you guys, but I can't play 3 voicemails, which 5-6 minutes from the same person. So please try to limit to 1. I know you guys are excited about the show and you're big fans. I love you guys for calling, but please try to limit it to 1 call between shows. Definitely appreciate that. That's so we can get through all the content. But as usual, you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. And I got a little confession to make. I've got a little bit of a damaged tongue. And I don't know what it is, but I bit my tongue out in Vegas pretty bad. It was the worst I'd bit my tongue in years. And it was just because I was eating fast and not paying attention. But ever since then, I have whacked that baby about 3 or 4 times. And I did it again tonight. Have you ever got into that mode? I mean, let's get this. I know it's a kind of weird subject, but it's actually affecting how I'm talking. I can tell that my voice is not as effective, and it's driving me crazy. It really, really is. So luckily, tongues heal pretty quick. But boy, it sure hurts when you bite your tongue. It really does. And I've left a mark a couple of times. I don't know what it is, why it's happening, but never's happened before. But you guys get into that. Does that happen to you? And I won't play your voicemail, but it's just kind of one of those weird things. Weird things happen to me for some reason from time to time. Okay, anyway, let's get into the voicemail. Enough hygiene and personal questions. You're like, gross. Move on, Todd. So again, 619-342-7365. Drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, always visit the Geek News Central website. But let's go ahead and fire into the first voicemail. Here it comes.
Hey, Todd. This is Craig Patchett.
Hey, Craig.
And just listening to show number 341 and was kind of surprised to hear you complaining that iTunes rented movies now, but you weren't able to purchase them. You've been able to purchase movies on iTunes for, I'm trying to think, at least a year. I remember the first movie I saw show up was the original High School Musical, so it's got to have been at least a year now. So not really sure what you were talking about when you said that you weren't able to buy videos. That functionality is still there. You're now able to choose whether you want to rent or buy.
Oh.
So just wanted to clarify that. Love the show. Thanks, and talk to you later.
Hey, Craig.
Bye.
Thanks. I guess I don't use iTunes that much. So, I've kind of gotten hooked by this Voodoo box by being able to just go through the stuff on the big screen and then just ordering and being done with it. I really wasn't thinking about actually loading iTunes up and then doing it that way. I guess you have to do that anyway with the Apple TV, but I'm assuming then, it makes sense. I think I saw that before. I was just being stupid, Craig, so I'll be quiet. It was a conversation that came up on the roundtable, so I don't know how I got sidetracked there, but definitely you got me squared away. Thanks. Here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd. This is Thomas, and
hey, Thomas.
I was never able to get your podcast on my Zoom.
Oh.
And also, you were wondering how I did my system restore on my computer. I did it through eMachines. Thanks a lot, and I'm still loving your show. Bye.
Oh, you did your restore through eMachines. That tells me that you may have taken and restored the disk from a disk or through their restore software. If you did that, my friend, I'm very afraid your data may be gone. If you did a restore with the eMachine's restore software, whether it would have been on the disk or through a provided DVD or something, you may be out of luck. I think it wipes it. My kids have an eMachine. I'll have to go over there and look on how the restore works on that box. Maybe I can give you a better answer. So far as the Zune goes, I loaded the marketplace today after getting an email from you as well, and I looked and everything was updated as far as the latest listing, so I'm not fully understand why you're not getting the content. Is if you go to the actual podcast section in your subscriptions in the Zune Marketplace, look and see what the media says on the right-hand side where the once you're subscribed, it's not in the actual podcast section anymore. You have to go to a different area where your subscriptions are. You'll be able to see what the status is with the media. And you can actually right-click, I believe, and change the properties so that you get all of them. So, you know, that again, we're going to be stuffing a lot of stuff into the RSS feed. So everyone, please, please, please change the properties on this show so you get all episodes, so that you just don't get the last three, because most software only looks back the last three episodes. So if you don't do that, you're going to miss stuff. All right. Okay. Here comes the next voicemail, and I hope that gets you squared away. And if not, just, you know, drop another voicemail. See, we can see if we can track this down a little further. And again, thanks for being part of the HANA.
Hey, Todd, I was just calling for your listener, Mike, who's asking about DVD ripping software for his unencrypted DVDs. If they're unencrypted, he actually only needs Windows Explorer. Simply copy those .vob files and change their extension name to .mpeg, so .mpg, and that will actually make them play in almost any video player software. You can download them from the web and use them however he wishes. If they're encrypted, time to look around a little bit, and I hate to give a recommendation on that, but I'm sure you'll hear that from other people. But if they're unencrypted, just change that file extension. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, very cool. And actually, I got some email on that as well, so we'll get into that. Thanks for the advice, and that'll help Mike out a lot. All right, here comes the next one.
Hey, Todd. It's Kevin from Winnipeg.
Hey, Kevin.
I was just listening to your podcast, and you were talking about the DreamHost thing with the billing.
Yeah.
The only people that actually got billed were the people who were, sorry to say, because you're one of them, but silly enough to allow DreamHost to auto-renew your and auto-bill. I mean, I would never allow any company to automatically charge me. I don't even let my utility company do that, because every company has had problems like this in the past. And it's the first time that DreamHost has had a problem, albeit in their own words, in 10 years. I think that's pretty good, you know.
a big one at that.
Now, you were kind of trying to say that, you know, DreamHost is really not good. But, I mean, they have ever-increasing amount of bandwidth and storage space that you get for what you pay. You pay your constant monthly fee, and it increases by 40 gigabytes a month, or 40 gigabytes a week. I pay less than $6 a month. I get two free domains and a unique IP bundled in that. And I get way more features than I ever would with GoDaddy. So I'm just kind of wondering why it is that you push GoDaddy so much, and then, you know, you're a quick jump on the Bash DreamHost bandwagon. Just kind of wondering what's up with that, and, you know, are you getting, you know, frankly, on my part, are you getting paid out by GoDaddy?
They're a sponsor here.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I was kind of wanting to say, and I was kind of wondering. So thanks, and enjoy your show.
Yes, GoDaddy is a sponsor, has been a sponsor of this show for a very, very long time. And yes, I do earn income from GoDaddy, so that definitely makes me a big fan of their service. I have, again, I'm a believer in the product too. I have 8 servers with them. I have over 170 domains on them. I've had terrible experience with DreamHost. Outages after outages after outages after outages. All you have to do is go to their blog and you look at the ongoing monthly saga people have with their DreamHost accounts over there. No, I cannot recommend. They give all the great features. They give all this great increasing bandwidth, but at what price? The price of not very high reliability, and that's my personal opinion on that. But there's a lot of people that are of the same opinion. I think people put up with them in their shenanigans and what they do because of the simple fact that, you know, they have these plans that are quite realistically, you know, they're definitely losing money. And who rightly, if you're not doing if you're just a blogger and you have very, very, very few people that have standard websites are moving lots and lots and lots of media. Just, you know, they move website pages and it doesn't take much storage. So this is a big marketing ploy that they have, and they oversell their shared hosting accounts. Download performance cannot be that good. I don't imagine that, people are very, you know, super impressed with that. But, you know, I'm not a huge, you know, a huge fan of their product. I know people use them. They're happy. That's cool. But, I have my utility bills automatically paid. I have my domain names automatically renewed because it's stuff that I don't ever want to ever risk losing. Now, did I know I was on automatic renewal with DreamHost? Nope. But you know what? I bet you it's default for everyone because guess what? Most people forget. And I'm sure they've got literally thousands of accounts. They get renewed either monthly or yearly for people that just don't care, and they just get renewed and they lose no money on that. So did I know I was on auto renew? No, but when they whack my credit card for $600 and then make light of it, it's not good business practices. Every company can make a mistake, but they continue to make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And again, that's my personal opinion. Now, GoDaddy is a sponsor of this show, but you look, I'm pretty well ingrained with them, and I have taken GoDaddy to task from time to time on issues. And anytime anyone has an issue, I definitely send those issues up the food chain. Now, I would argue that DreamHost has more features than GoDaddy. I really, really would. And from what I can see in the control panel, there's really, it's not that impressive. It's actually kind of cumbersome to use. And while I don't personally have a shared account with GoDaddy, I mean with DreamHost, while I have a shared host with DreamHost and only have dedicated servers with GoDaddy, I don't think there's much of a comparison. But anyway, that's it on that. And I know you're happy with the products. If you're happy, that's cool. I'm happy that you're happy. But from everything I've seen and the way they operate, loosey-goosey over there really, really is. And it almost like it's a bunch of kids. It reminds me of some kids that are running servers. And I'll bet they've got a lot of customers. They admitted to billing like $7 million worth of charges against their customers' credit cards. $7 million. Think about that for a minute. You know, what kind of financial damage did that make to people? You know, I've never, ever, in the entire time I've had automatic bill paid go, ever had a company charge me more than they were supposed to charge me for a product. You know, my electricity bill was $300 and some the last time around. Bam! I got the invoice in the mail, and they didn't pull the funds out of my account until 2 days before the bill was due date. So I had plenty of time to look at the bill. I knew what was coming from the charges, and if I needed to make a change, then I could have. But it's all dependent upon each person on how they want to do that. But they've fixed it, and I will continue to be a GoDaddy supporter, and not just because they're a sponsor here. Okay, don't get me wrong; I support them because I like their products. I really, really do. Okay, let's move on. Enough on that. I'm sure that's going to cause a firestorm. 619-342-7365. Fire me off your comments and emails.
Hey, Todd. This is Mike Wills from Exotish.
Hey, Mike.
Yet again. And I want to add a different perspective to your perspective on the bandwidth capping. Now, I totally agree with you. It's not a good deal to limit bandwidth per se. But what if they switch the model to what they're talking? Let's say the low plan is 40 gig a month, but they don't cap your bandwidth or your speed. So you have the fullest capability of speed, but you can only download 40 gigabyte a month as the low base plan.
So I'd run out in 3 days.
For a medium plan and a few hundred for a top plan or something. I don't know. You know, that stuff I'm flexible on. But if they actually had reasonable download amounts and didn't cap the actual speed, I might be a little more for it. And maybe that's what some of these other countries have, is why their internet's so fast, but they only have so much download ability. You know, I don't know. It might be something that might have a little bit better perspective on things. But then again, knowing them, they're going to charge as much as absolutely possible, and I'm sure I would pass 40 gigs a month transfer based upon the stuff I know I download, especially with all the podcasts, the video podcasts, and uploading a podcast that I do. So anyway, I just had another added little different perspective to it. But yeah, in the end, it's not going to be a good thing because this is America and this is a business trying to make money. Anyway, have a good show. Bye.
Hey, Mike, thanks for the comment. And you know something? You know what the problem is right now? Most of us on broadband have no issue with download. My download speeds are happy, you know, are fine. Not happy, fine. I downloaded, I paid for a software update for one of my software programs. It was 670 megs, and it downloaded in like 18 minutes. You know, so, you know, huge download, took no time to download. But yet, when I push my little 36 meg, so here I am, I've downloaded 600 and some meg in, you know, a very short period. But yet, when I go to push my 36 meg file up to the server, and I have to sit here and wait 15 minutes for it, there's something wrong with that. You know, unlock us from pushing. I want to be able to push stuff more, but they won't. They never will. And Andy McCaskey wrote me an email and said, boy, if this thing goes in effect, I'm going to be in trouble. 3 days, I used 13 gigs of traffic. And he said, that's just normal use of stuff that I'm doing here. And that just tells you right there, folks, where we're headed. So keep your eyes peeled. Call Time Warner. Complain. Tell them you don't want this to come, you know. And I'll vote with my wallet. I will. I absolutely will. I will not be hostage to them. And I think if enough people make that decision, then we won't have to worry. They'll know that it's going to cause more harm than good. All right, let's get into the email comments. I've got a number to go through. I got an email from Jack here. This came in, I was going to talk about it on the last show, but really we ran out of time. He said, Todd, I'm listening to episode 340 and heard you talking about explaining to your son how we compare in size to the rest of the universe. I can't help you with the universe, but I found an article online about how we compare just to our solar system. And I actually had seen this too, Jack. And I you know, that's the sun got to me that day. I wasn't able to explain it, but it's called the 1,000-yard model. And the Earth is a peppercorn and the sun is an 8-inch ball. It's a model that a science teacher, Guy Otell, designed to give his science class perspective on the size and distance of things in our solar system. In the model, Pluto is a pinhead, but it wasn't the size of the individual model that got me. What got me was the fact that the 8-inch sun could hold that little pinhead Pluto in its orbit at over 1,000 yards away, more than a half a mile, based on the average distance Pluto is from the sun in its elliptical orbit. The teacher actually takes the children outside and has them walk off the paces for each planet. I taught this model to a group just last year. It is fascinating. I combined it with speed records to give my audience an idea of how long it would take us to cover the distance. I believe our fastest manned space-borne speeds were the Apollo missions, which was 25,000 miles per hour in order to break Earth's orbit. Based on the speed, it would take us over 33 years from going from one end of the solar system to the other. I believe the actual Voyagers are going faster than that now, Jack. I don't quote me on that, but I do remember a high number. I think it was faster than 25K. But anyway, the article is far more interesting than I'm able to describe it, and here's the link. And I have already shared that with my youngin', and he was, wow, quite impressed. And we went up and down the street a little bit doing the experiment. So thanks for the link. Very invaluable. And that's why we have a great Ohana audience. That's really, that's what it's all about. Okay, moving on here. I'm going to get a open up a couple of emails. And let's see here. Oh, Bree, yep, I know you got your Zune. And she said, I got a double podcast email. Sorry. Hopefully that will not be the case tonight. Got an email from Darcy. Hey, Todd, left a comment on your blog post yesterday about your Fox News segment. But since it included a link, it may have sucked up. It may be sucked up by your spam filter. I just want to let you know that I think you did a great job, or fine job, but I was unable to watch the video at the link you provided in the post. I live in Canada, so Fox News may be blocking non-US IPs. I found a copy over here at Yahoo News. I'm listening to, so she provided that to me. I'll have that linked up in the show notes tonight for those of you that have had trouble getting to that. And goes on to say, I'm listening to number 341 at the moment. Was surprised to see the link in the show notes to Buddy Wasanami and the other Otterfellers. I met them in 88 at a festival we were both playing in, and I'm happy to see they're still around and touring. I'm curious to know who sent you the link to their site. Was it a Newfie? Is one of the band members a fan of your show? Here's a YouTube clip of their show. And yeah, it's a fan of the show. And can I find this, Darcy? Let me look here. It's buried back in the actual email notes. I'll see if I can find the person that sent it to me. And additional comment that Darcy had says, I use Handbrake to rip DVDs from my iPod. It's cross-platform, open source, and very easy to use. There are presets for many output formats, iPhone, iPod, Apple TV, QuickTime, etc., but it can be fine-tuned manually. It doesn't do very well copy-protected DVDs, but I don't think that will be an issue for Mike. Note, if you're on Vista, you should run Handbrake as an administrator. My two CDNs worth. Darcy. Thanks, Darcy. Appreciate it. I how you have that, your CDN worth, not your cents worth. All right, got an email from Jordan. As an update, 2-year contract does not stand and there's no early termination fee. AT&T has told us the price is $25 or less according to the promotions. So this is in reference to me bashing on AT&T over the SIM, okay? So it looks like AT&T has loosened the shackles on that particular program. That's good news. They probably got so much feedback initially. That's what caused it. But maybe it was bum gouged to begin with. But Jordan, thanks for the link. I'll have that up in the show notes. Got an email from Jason. Is it going to load here? What is the deal? Oh, yeah. Jason, hello. Just a quick follow-up on my previous comment about how bad Time Warner copying bandwidth is. I had no idea it would be such a low amount. In the past few days, I have already used 12 gigs, and that's just from podcasts, video podcasts, and watching some movies and TV shows via Netflix and Hulu. I guess I was kind of hoping it would be a more usable amount. So I hereby retract my previous comments in full. Also, I have Cox cable for TV and internet. It's been cutting out pretty much every day. It doesn't last long, just a few minutes. Usually it happens when I'm talking on Skype and suddenly Firefox can't look up a domain and a few seconds later Skype hangs up. I look at my fancy little modem and it politely resets itself. 1 minute later, I'm back online. I've called them about it and they won't do anything for me. They say the lines are too noisy and I can't even get digital cable. It's so bad. I'm lucky I get internet at all. This is a huge setback considering I've spent most of my life in Fort Worth, Texas, where bandwidth's plentiful and reliable. For the past year out here in outskirts of Wichita, Kansas, things aren't quite right. Thanks again. And Jason, I feel your pain, my friend. I really, really do. I'm actually having to have someone come out and I just don't have time to do it. I'm going to have someone do the rewiring of the house. I'm on the borderline of signal quality here too. The lines aren't noisy. It's just the prior occupant of this house was really a handyman that didn't know how to be handy with cable running. And I'm being very polite when I say that. got an email from Nigel. He says, Todd thought you might like the Attach. This is the first automated transfer vehicle from the ESA to the space station around 22 February 2008. Interesting that the ATV is human-rated once in space, not for launch, and the Ariane 5 was originally designed to be human-rated. I wonder how hard would it be to pin a Soyuz capsule or the NASA Orion on top of an Ariane 5? That's interesting. My hunch is that the delay between the end of the shuttle life and the shuttle replacement will drag out, and the Western world will need some independent means of getting humans into space, especially since those who will be able to launch humans will be the Russians and the Chinese. You know, Nigel, I agree with you. There's, you know, it's about this transition time that's going to be ugly. It really will. But thanks for the link on that. I have that up in the show notes. Got an email from Keel. Hey, Todd Leonard here. I noticed over the past few podcasts, electric savings are being talked about quite often. Here in South Africa, our electricity supply company is Eskom. In 1998, they asked the government permission to build more power stations as they predicted that from 2007, the power demand will be more than what they can supply. The government denied their request. Guess what? During the second half of last year, they started struggling to keep up with demand. Their stations started failing as they're being overworked as they're trying to supply more than what they're capable of. From December last year, they started load shedding. Well, I'm going to share with you about some load shedding, too. I've been there. Load shedding nationwide. They have set our schedules stating which town will have a blackout at which times. This is very frustrating. Every day, we have a blackout between 10 and 1500 at work. Oh my gosh. Luckily, the work has a generator. Most businesses are losing production. Most people are frustrated at home. Most people now have to buy bottles of gas to be able to make dinner. Eskom cuts the power at different times in the whole city. They now have only been granted permission to build new power stations, but they said it will take a few years to meet the demand, and load shedding will carry on for the next 5 to 7 years. South Africa is hosting the 2010 FIFA Soccer World Cup. What will they do then? Play soccer with flashlights? The government said they will subsidize solar panels for people wanting to install them for their warm water geysers. They're also paying some businesses to constantly run generators and attempt to normalize the consumption supply demand, but the consumption is still far more than supply. Some say the government is to blame for declining the request when Eskom warned them. Others say Eskom is blamed just for accepting the decision and not taking any measures to convince the government of the consequences. I say both are to blame. Neither of them had people in mind. Our president, Thabo Mbeki, I apologize if I pronounced that wrong, which I probably did, is currently in meetings with Eskom to find a quicker solution to the current situation. Let me know what you think about this. Regard, Leonard. Leonard, my God. You know something, my friend? I lived in Guam, and load shedding was a way of life. Every day, 3 to 4 hours, and the area that I lived in was from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Talking about just absolutely being demoralizing. They had such generator problems for so many years. It was horrible. And I had a generator. Everybody had a generator. You would hear the neighborhood come alive at about 15:55 every afternoon as people were waiting for the Guam Power Authority, which they're called, to flip the switch and put us into darkness. And then we would basically go to our circuit breaker panels, disconnect us from the grid, and go up online on a generator. That got expensive. Been there, done that, lived that. I lived that for a long, long time, at least 6 years. I feel your pain. And what it was there was that the Navy, when the Navy moved into Guam initially, built these beautiful power plants and more than enough generator capacity. And then they started, the Navy turned that over to the local government authority, and the government authority didn't put any money in the infrastructure. And the next thing you know, no power. So what ended up happening was, is they spent millions and millions of dollars of bringing in small generators, little ones that would do like 20 kVA or whatever it was, or maybe 20,000, I don't know what it was, 20,000 kVA. It wasn't very much, but they bought dozens of these, which were essentially generators that were designed to only be run like 4 hours a month, and they just run them nonstop. And of course, they broke. Been there, and I'm sorry that you're going through this. It will get better, but I understand your pain. I really, really do. Got an email from Bree. She says, hey, you may want to bring your own drinking cup. And after you see this on YouTube, folks, bring when you go on the travel, don't drink any out of any cups in any hotel rooms. You've been warmed. All right, last one is from John. And we're actually almost out of time. Hey, Todd, I haven't written in a while, but I want to respond to Mike Will's voicemail. The NBA and various legal authorities have absolutely no say in how the city council uses video they created, so that alone makes us concerned fruitless. But even at that, if he uses a standard off-the-shelf DVD-R to record the council meeting, which is most likely, there's no encryption on the disc. The reason why you cannot simply copy commercial is because of the description key. And I go on to read here. He says, this is exactly why buying DVDs online that you can burn to your own DVD-Rs without DRM is not available. The studios require encryption. Forget that it's been useless for years now in order to sell DVDs directly to the consumer because DVD minus Rs do not have encryption. Hollywood does not buy and burn DVDs online. So there's no need for Matt to use so-called illegal ripping software, let alone the fact because the council owns the video. The NBA has absolutely no say in how the council uses the video or any media created by the council. Any tool that converts DVD.VOB files to another format is all that it will need, and there are plenty of tools out there. John from widescreen.org. All right, folks. Oh, my gosh. I got more, and I think I'm out of time here. Joanne from OCD said, I'm quite sure you'll find this a hack from Baxter Very Handsy. It allows you to control their OSD remotely from a PC. They see their first open post on the blog. So this is about the OSD from Neuros. Got an email from John, and I'll link John got his Zune. He actually wrote a blog post about it. See if I can find that and put it up online. Got an email from one of the listeners talking about the crunchies. And I'll have that coverage up. Got an email from, Lori. Hey, Todd, not razzing you or anything. It's okay. It's okay to razz me. But I live not too far from Beaumont, Texas, and just wanted to help you a little bit with your pronunciation. Beaumont is pronounced like bow. So used to shoot arrows. So Beaumont. Beaumont is of a French origin. Later and keep up the great work, Lori. Thanks, Lori. And hey, what are you hearing from over there? Are they complaining? Are they screaming? Are they protesting in the streets? I got an email from Tim and link up to that Fox News of that lady that went in and wiped out all that data. And the last article, this is the last article, was from John. Todd, I thought you might find this interesting on technology front. It's not microprocessors and electrons per se, but it's building stuff, genetic stuff. How about building a bacteria? Now, this is some really scary and beneficial applications. What is cool here is that they built DNA and cloned one quarter of the whole chain in different bacteria, and they put all four chains together and cloned the whole set. This is different from cloning a DNA strand. These guys built their DNA strand from ACT and G proteins and put them all together. Just a four-year information. Here's the link. Thanks, John. Very, very cool stuff. Where are we going from here? All right. Wow. Another long one. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. And the next show, we're going to be live from Waco, Texas. So we'll see you all soon. Yeah, I'll have a great and safe weekend. Take care and aloha.